Rotatera Kuf Nun Gimel. Very interesting. Rabbi Nizal talks about Inyan Kabbalas Penei Talmidei Chachamim, the concept of receiving the face of Talmidei Chachamim. Now, this is a term that's used in the Gemara. For example, we had it in Moed Katan? I don't know if we had it in Moed Katan. In Chagiga, the concept of Chayiv Adam Lahakbil Penei Rabbi Baregel. That's the wording that's used, that a person is required to go visit. That's how it's translated, to go visit. Literally, it means to receive the face of his Rebbe on Yantif. And Rabbi Nizal explains this. We had it in previous term, look at Imran, what that referred to. Now Rabbi Nizal's been explaining it in a different way. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki halavono ein lo oir me'atzmo klal. The Levono has, the moon has no light of its own whatsoever. Rak hu mekabeles oir me'ashemesh. It only receives light from the sun. Hainu al yedei shehalavono hu kemare meluteshes. Because the moon is like a mirror, like a polished surface. Melutosh means polished, like a finely polished surface. Al yedei zeh mekabeles oir me'ashemesh. That's what allows it to receive the light of the sun. Umisnaitzitz mimeno oir lohir al horetz. And there reflects off it, off the moon, light that extends to the earth. Ach im hoyo gashmo av v'choshuch bilti meluteshes. But if the substance of the moon, if the nature of the moon were such that it was thick and dark, and it were not polished, it weren't a polished surface, it would not have been able to receive the light of the sun whatsoever. It's only the fact that it's a smoothly polished surface without any rough edges that allows it to be able to accept perfectly, to draw perfectly, and to reflect perfectly. V'chein ha-talmid v'horav heim b'chinas chamo levono. Rabbi Nizal says that a talmid and a rebbe are the concept of the sun and the moon. Kemavur b'mokam achar, as was explained in Torah Vov in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph. V'im ha-talmid yesh lo ponim, and if the talmid is zeichet to have a good face, haynu b'chinas an penehirin, if a talmid is zeichet to have a face that's lit up, b'chinas mare meluteshes, a polished surface, Azai yochel lekabel ponim, then the Talmud is capable of receiving a face, meaning lekabel oir pnei harav, to receive the light of the face of the Rebbe. Vazai roi sheharav yisroi atzmai b'seich pnei Talmud amekabel ponov. And then it's proper, it's right, that the Rebbe's face should be seen within the face of the Talmud. Kemoy b'chol mare meluteshes, just like in any mirror. You look into a mirror, and the mirror contains within it the face of whatever is looking into it. So if a Talmud is a mirror, and the Rebbe is looking into him, he's shining into him, then it's understood that looking at the mirror, you would see the Rebbe. Shekol ho'imed kenegdo roye satzma b'seich ha'mara, just as when it comes to a mirror, kemoi b'chol mara maluteshes, just like by any polished surface, any person who stands opposite sees himself within that surface, kein m'chuyiv gam kein kan, so true, it's proper here also, shehatalmid yikabel pnei harav, haynu shiyikabel pnei harav l'taychoi, that he should receive the face of the Rebbe within himself, meaning sheyisroe b'seichoi pnei harav, that there should be seen within him the face of the Rebbe, the oyer of the Rebbe. V'zehu kabolas ponim. This is why the term that's used throughout Shas is this concept of a kabolas ponim. What does kabolas ponim mean? Hainu kabolas ponim mamish kanal. It means literally to receive that face within yourself. V'zehu dafka im yesh la ha-talmid ponim. But the only way that that can be true is if the Talmud is zeichet to have a face. Hainu an penehirin. He's zeichet to have a lit up face. Shehim b'chinas mara meluteshes kanal, which is this concept of a smooth surface, lit up mirror. Ach im ein lo yponim, but if the Talmud does not have a face, haynu shehu b'chinas an pin chashuchin, he is the concept of a dark face, azai ein yochoy lekabel ponim kanal, then the Talmud cannot receive a face. As we mentioned before about the example with the Lavona receiving the light of the sun, it's only because the Lavona is constructed in such a way that it's capable of reflecting in such a perfect manner the light of the sun. But if it were constructed different, if the Lavona itself were constructed different, it wouldn't be able to do this. Ubevadai ein misroya b'seichai p'nei orav. And in a case like that, if he's not zeichet to this anpenahirin, then the face of the Rebbe is not seen within him. Kemoyhoi made neged koldov or avachoshuch. Like any person standing opposite any rough-edged surface or a dark item, you don't see yourself in it at all, unless it's polished, unless it's smooth. Vaydeze efshir lodas imhu mishuka b'tayves momoin. And this is the test. If a person wants to know how steeped he is in Taivas Mamayim, this is the way to be able to tell. Ki im ein roya esatzmoy boy, if it is not seen within him the face of the Rebbe, yoidea shu b'chinas anpen chashuchim, then the Talmud knows that he's in a state of anpen chashuchim, shehu b'chinas hameshuka b'taivas Mamayim. That's the concept of one who is stooped in Taivas Mamayim. Kimavur b'makom achar, as Rabbeinu Zal explained in Torah Chav Gimel, that one who is stooped in Taivas Mamayim is a concept of Anpin Chashuchin, because Rabbeinu Zal explained the concept of Taivas Mamayim is an Indian of Be'itzavayin Teichalna, and Atzvus is called Marashchayra, blackness, Anpin Chashuchin, black, Choshech, black. So Rabbeinu Zal says this refers to the Indian of Taivas Mamayim. Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'chein kol echad neged chaveroi efshaloi lo da'asai deizeh." And so too, each person with relation to his friend can also tell this, "Ki kol echad shiyotzo mitayves mamayin yosem chaveroi," because whatever person was zeche to rid himself of tayves mamayin on a higher level than his friend, nikro kenegdoi tzadik. So in comparison to his friend, he's considered a tzadik. Relative to this, he's considered tzadik. Kimavur b'makom achar, as we explained in other places in the Kutamaran, this concept of b'chinois. V'zeh shekosuv ponim b'ponim diber Hashem imochem. This is why the Torah says that when Hashem spoke to Bnei Israel at Har Sinai, it says ponim b'ponim, face to face, Hashem spoke to you. But it doesn't say face to face, it says face b'ponim, means in face. Face in face, Hashem spoke to you. Hainu b'shas matan Torah ha-Yisrael b'b'chinas anpenehirin. At the time that Bnei Israel received the Torah on Har Sinai, they were zeicher to the madrega of anpenehirin. And they were able to receive the ponim of kedusha. Hainu sheyisroel b'seichom ponim nikdusha, that there should be seen within them the ponim of kedusha. Now note, who's the one whose face is on the moon? Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is the one who was zeichet to have this anpin nehirin, this ponim dikdusha. Mavakshei ponecho, Yaakov selo. Yaakov Avinu is the Indian of ponim dikdusha. What did we say this week, this Shabbos at the Shir, was Yaakov Avinu's most outstanding trait that gave him this ponim? What made him such a super bechinas talmid, Yaakov Avinu? The fact that he's the Indian of chein. He was an Indian of Ki Chanani Elikim V'Chiyesh Likoyel. Chain means an Indian of a Talmud, something that a Talmud has, where he's Mavakish the Avo of the Rebbe, and he's Sholem Imoy. This is an ingredient that we refer to of a Talmud neged a Rebbe. Yaakov Avinu is the Bechin of the Levona, compared to Hashem, who is the Chama, in a sense. Note, what quality does it say about Bnei Israel at Har Sinai? Vayichan shom neged hahor. They rested there neged hahor. The Meforshim bring Vayichan as Miloshin Chayin. At that time they were Zeichet Eris Chayin. They were Zeichet Eris Madrega of Yaakov Avinu, which is the simian of the ponim dikdusha, this anpenehirim. Vezeh ponim beponim. This is why it says ponim beponim dibra shemimochem. She ponim dikdusha hoyo beseich peneihem. The face of kedusha was within the faces of the Jews. The Yidden was zeicher to receive the face of Hashem kaviyochel at that time. Vze diber Hashem imochem, shehadibur hoyamedaber im kol echod v'yotze mikol echod miYisrael. The dibur of Hashem ponim beponim diber Hashem imochem. Hashem spoke with you means like one speaking to the other. With you also means kaviyochel, Hashem merged with you and spoke from you, kaviyachol. In other words, he spoke with you, together you both spoke, kaviyachol. That was the sichud of ponim upon him. Meaning, shehadibur hoye medaber im kol echod v'yotze mei kol echod miYisrael. Why? Mei achar shenichlal b'seichay ponim dikdusha kanal. Because each Jew at that point in time had nichlal within him, kaviyachol, the ponim of Hashem. So the ponim of Hashem was within his face when Hashem spoke, kaviyachol, Hashem spoke from within that person. Achmi shehu azus ponim, but a person who is chas v'shalom azus ponim, Ein loy ponim dikdusha. That person does not have a ponim dikdusha. Ve'ein lo yochel kabel ponim kanal. And that person cannot receive the ponim, as we said before. Ve'alkein omrazal. That's why the Gemara lists this specific item. The Gemara says in Edorim, kol mi sheyesh loy azus biyadua shelo yomdu ragli avos v'lar Sinai. That any person who has azus, it's known that his parents weren't whenever on Har Sinai, meaning the Sifrei Kabbalah say that in his previous Gilgal, Ragli Avosav refers to his previous time on earth. At that time, he was not at Har Sinai. In other words, what did his parents have to do with it? Yeah, the Sifrei Kabbalah bring that Ragli Avosav means that him in his previous Gilgal at that time, if he has Azus now, we know that he wasn't there at Har Sinai at the time. The question is, why do they select that item to determine whether you were there or weren't there? Because by Azus, it's called Azus Ponim. It's a pigam in the Ponim. And the whole thing, the whole concept of Har Sinai was Ponim b'ponim dibra Hashem imochem. Hashem spoke to Bnei Yisrael Ponim b'ponim. Az Ponim is this bechin of Anpin Chashulchan, the fact that he doesn't accept authority. The Gemara says Azus is Malchusa b'loy taga. The way it's supposed to be is a person's supposed to be like the Levona. We today, we're Talmidim. We're supposed to be like the Levona, which is the concept of the Malchus Dikdusha. In other words, the Talmud is the Malchus. The Rebbe is the Chachma. Rabbein Ezal brings in the first term on the Kutumaran. The Rebbe is the Chachma, the son. The Talmud is the Levona, the Malchus. That's if it's Malchus Dikdusha. Then you have this Ponim b'ponim Dibra Hashem Imochem. You have this whole concept of Rebbe Talmud. You have this whole concept of Har Sinai. If there's Az Ponim, it means the opposite of Malchus Dikdusha. That's Az Malchusa B'loy Taga. It's a fake Malchus. It's a kingdom without a crown. Tago is a crown. It's with a kingdom without a crown. It's a fake kingdom. It's a fake Levona. That Levona could not have received from Hashem. It says that the people at that time was Zechet Ponim Ponim. If this person was Az Ponim, he could not have been there at the time.
So what you say, since it Baruch seems Hashem. Like Rebbein Ezal is also simplifying it, I said it only seems like, because in between a tzaddik and a rasha, a person under a certain situation could illustrate the Azus Ponim, but not, in most, over the majority of situations in life, he have a lot of anivus.
Well,
so how does Rebbein Ezal explain it?
The answer is that factually, we go by Bashir Husham, whatever state a person is in. You take any person at the time that he's committing a sin, at that for that moment he's a Rasha. He does tshuva, he becomes a tzaddik.
So that means, let's say he illustrates Azus Ponim. Does that mean his parents weren't at the scene of Mount Sinai?
Here it means not a person who illustrates as a person who is an Azus Ponim, in other words, his normal state is Azus Ponim. That's what it refers to. This doesn't mean necessarily one shot. But factually, a person should know that this is one of the worst items conceivable. The first chapter in Shulchan Aruch, the first paragraph in the entire four Shulchan Aruchs, where it says that a person, in order to serve Hashem, should be Gibler Kari, that when it comes to serving Hashem, you have to be powerful like a lion, and Rotz Katzvi, you have to run like a deer, and Az Kanomer, you have to be daring as a leopard. But yet the Mefarshim point out, be very careful not to have Chas V'Shalom Azus Ponim. Not, in other words, even if somebody pokes fun at you because of your religion, even then be careful when you answer him not to break loose completely Chas V'Shalom and Azus Ponim, because if a person does it, could be at this moment he's right in doing it, he's right in reacting with such a powerful manner, but the Shulchan Aruch warns, if you're going to get used to reacting that way for religion, you're going to find Chas V'Shalom that will become your normal way of acting, talking in that chutzpahdik manner, and that's very dangerous. Very dangerous. Because that prevents a person from being able to accept the authority of Hashem over himself or the authority of Yitzhak.
The whole thing is Tavis Mamlin? That's what we're trying to connect with?
The whole thing is Tavis Mamlin?
The becoming an Az Ponim. Is that the, you said over here that the reason why a person has a dark, why it does no reflection, is a dark face?
Not at all. Rav Enizal mentioned two items, period. He discussed two separate items. Rav Enizal mentioned the fact that this whole concept is another way to be helpful for a person to be able to know if he's stooped in Tavis Mamon or not, because Tavis Mamon is Anten Chashuch, and there also you'll find that depending on how well you can see yourself in some, you know, you can have your Rebbe be seen in you, that's what determines how stooped you are in Tavis Mamon. Period. Then Rav Enizal says a separate item, ach, look at the top of paragraph Bez, ach, Mishu Azaz, in other words, we finished. We discussed the issue of Taivas Mamayim, how that's related to this subject of Anpen Chashuchen, etc., etc. Now Rabbi Nizal says there's a second item. Ach, but Mishu Azasponim, you should know that there's another item called Azasponim, where there also Ein Leponim Dikdusha, and Yechal Gabal Ponov, and that's why the Gemara says such and such. Because note that right before Har Sinai, what Taiva were Bnei Yisrael? What was the one taiva that right before Har Sinai there was zeichet to break? Taivas Mamayim. When they left Mitzrayim, the exiting from Mitzrayim was Shviras Taivas Mamayim. In other words, they had to be forced into taking money from the Egyptians. Then they were machniyat Taivas Mamayim, meaning they were zeichet to ponim dikdusha. Then they were ready for ponim b'ponim dikrashanim lachem. In other words, now you see how these things tie in.
Is this explained well as Aziz Panam and the opposite of the Boishas Panam? Getting the term Panam used in
100%. 100%. Why is it used related to the face? Because that's the item that affects the face, that distinguishes between Panam Dikdusha, being able to receive Panam of Dikdusha or not. In other words, here's where we see the link up between Aziz Boishas versus Panam. Har Sinai was ponim b'ponim d'ibrashim imochem. The Gemara says that the item which cut you off from Har Sinai was Azus. So we know that it's Azus ponim, Boishas ponim. But this is an item that's reflected on the face. 100%.
So I understand from this that a different taiva, like somebody has a chasushon taiva, but it's not a taiva's mamon, that would not be as significant in
with regards to this
on Rebbe
Tamar. Definitely. And it's interesting to note the fact that Rabbi Nezal tells a story in Sitronos, it's the Masid about Tefillah, where he lists the Taivas Mamayim as being, that he talks about different countries, each one was stooped in a different Taiva, and he says the ones who had Taivas Mamayim, they were the ones who had the most serious problem, the most difficult to be Mesakim. And Rabbi Nezal brings him, how can we say this when we know that all these Sifrei Musa bring that the most serious Taiva and the worst Taiva Chas V'Shalom is the Taivas Moshim? And Rabbi Nezal himself says in many places, why does he bring this? And the answer that's given is because Tavis Nashim, although it's a more serious item and a more dangerous item, and an item that angers Hashem more, but still it's easier to be pulled out of Tavis Mamayim than it is to be pulled out of Tavis Mamayim. Tavis Mamayim is a pit where Yesh Laman writes him a sign. Tavis Nashim is something which could be satisfied. It could be satisfied for a minute. By Tavis Mamayim, there's no such thing. Yesh Laman writes him a sign. By Tavis Nashim, there is a concept of a 15-minute period. It's used up, period. There is a stop to it. Whereas Tavis Mamayim is called this endless, this bottomless pit. That's the wording that Rabbi Nezal uses about Be'itzavoyim Techauma. It's an atzvus chas v'sham. It's a blackness that a person falls into that it's very, very hard to pull them out.
As far as more being the face of Yaakov Avinu, isn't that why Rabbi Zal said that he believed in Mishlein that man could never set foot?
Right. The fact that the Zerukarish says that the Levona is an item of extreme Kedusha, it represents the Shechina and everything, and that no human being, certainly no Tamei Goy, would be able to set foot, step on the moon.
Does someone have a picture of the actual moon? Would they see the face of Yaakov Avinu, or?
I don't know. But there are times, in other words, you ask, speak to people's Becha, who look at the moon, you see a face in there. No question about it.
Is Taivas Mamayim considered a more dangerous Taiva than even Taivas Kavod? Because I've known a lot of people had tremendous amounts of money, but they felt they didn't have enough Kavod.
It depends. Rabbi Nezal said factually that anything he's willing to work with, except the Bogdanova, Chas V'Shalom. He's willing to bring any person to him. A person has Taivas Mamayim, Taivas Mi, if this, that, he can correct it. A person who's looking for Kavod, Chas V'Shalom, not possible. Baruch Hashem. Next, Taira Kufnun Dalit. Yes. But the Gemara does list this exception, that except Hazas Ponim. Whether that means technically, huh? Whether that means technically that it was 600,000 minus an amount or not, I really don't know. But in other words, this is a famous Gemara. I heard Rabbi Zal mention this. He mentioned it in this context. He was saying that what's Taich Ragla of this? I didn't think of asking him at the time, if that's the case, why do we always say that all 600,000 were there? Could be it means that these were excluded. Or that they were there and they were taken away. I really don't know.
And he
asks part of the kind of that kind of a person who speaks out, who answers in an the way it's interpreted in Shulchan Aruch, the way it's interpretable in Pirkei Avos, means a person who speaks with an arrogance. That, in other words, to those who are greater than him, that kind of opposite. For example, you find at the end of Saita, because of the Mashiach Chutz V'Yazgi, and it quotes a pasuk there that the Na'orim will be disrespectful to the Zakenim. It's that concept. Shivcha ki tirash givirto. That's called Azaz Ponim.
There's one thing, just saying,
it means it's understood that in order to come for that, in other words, a person who has any taiva, there are times when it's at its height and there are times when it subsides. In order for him to be able to enter, he has to lower it or squash it for a period of time, and that alone makes it to correctable. For example, I'll give you an example. We spoke about Rabbi Yudelzal, on Shabbos. By Rabbi Yudelzal, there was an incident. He came into Rabbeinu Zal. This was a very big tzaddik. Proof is, look what came of him afterwards. He was echad to become one of Rabbeinu Zal's closest talmidim, and he was a mekubal before he met Rabbeinu Zal. He was a big, big tzaddik. And he came to Rabbeinu Zal and he said, "I hear that you're a big tzaddik. Teach us a derech and avodas Hashem." Rabbeinu Zal answered him, "Lo das bor et darkecho." Does Hashem let his ways be taught to the ground? In other words, Rabbeinu Zal insulted him. You want me to shine das into Oretz? Rabbeinu Zal insulted him right away because in coming to a Rebbe, you don't come in that way. In other words, Rabbeinu Zal felt that wasn't enough hachmah. If you're coming to learn, you come quiet. You don't come talking, teach us, Hashem's great. I'm saying I'm playing it up. It's understood. He didn't necessarily present it in that manner, but it wasn't done with enough hachmah. And you have a lot of other stories. Rabbeinu Zal Bedafka took a person and insulted him just to see if he was roy to come in. Rabbeinu Zal quotes the Gemara that the tzaddik is the one, the baal who avedos. He has the avedos of every person. And when a person comes to receive an aveda, you have to check him out to see if he's a rami. And the way that a person is checked out usually is by going through Shvichas Domim, Bezyanos. Rabbeinu Zal brings in Teravov that the whole kesher between Rebbe and Talmud is the Bezyanos. And that's why Rabbeinu Zal said that the more Bezyanos a person goes through in the initial Hiskarvas Tashem, the more powerfully Hiskarvas he'll be zechut to have. In other words, a person should know that if a person went through a lot of manias in the beginning, that's a good sign. If not, don't go. A person doesn't have to go looking for them. Each one has a different type of mania period. But a person has to battle with his yitzhak.
You
remember
somebody.
Petch, that was this one, Rabbi Yudelzal. That was a second incident. Besides this, there was an incident later, after Rabbi Yudelzal was already in Niskarev, when Rabbeinu Zal was discussing a Gemara with a group of people, and they said that Pshat Gemara was a certain way, and Rabbeinu Zal said it's different. And just at that time, Rabbi Yudelzal came into the room, and he was, again, we're talking about a tzaddik, a London. He was very learned. So Rabbeinu Zal said to the people in the room, "If Rabbi Yudelzal says like me, would you accept what I say?" So they said, "Yeah." So, and he said to Rabbi Yudelzal, period. Rabbi Yudelzal looked at the thing and he thought that they were right. Pshat. We're talking about learning Pshat Negamari. He thought that what they were saying seemed better. Rabbeinu Zal said to Rabbi Yudelzal, "If I prove to you that you're wrong, will you let us shmeis you? Will you let us give you pech?" Shmeis means pech on the backside. Rabbi Yudelzal said, "Yeah." Number one, he didn't dream that Rabbeinu Zal meant it literally. And number two, he thought that he was right. So Rabbi Nizal afterwards showed that they had made a mistake. He proved conclusively that his way of learning Pshat Gemara was right. Then he told Rabbi Elazar to lay down on a table or whatever, and they gave him a patch. And shortly afterwards, his daughter got sick. Rabbi Elazar's daughter got very sick. I think it's brought that it was his daughter that got very sick. And he came to Rabbi Nizal and he asked him, you know, for a ticket or something. Rabbi Nizal told him that what happened was some type of ruach went into her and is in a position to damage her, and I can remove this ruach. But Rabbi Nizal said she's going to have to be harmed slightly because of the fact that you had a hirhur at the time that you were being given patch. In other words, you felt a slight thought of, you know, that kind of thing, a slight bad feeling at the time. And it's brought that what happened was that one of her small toes on the foot shriveled up, you know, one of the Yechav Dalai Devaram, but she became cured completely afterwards. That was the end of it. So, and this was a little bit Ketiba Marayam, what went on with the Rebbe and Talmidim.
That's so much the story of Yerizal
that Chayvi
tells of.
That one. Right. That's where this concept is brought, that many times when it goes out, it has to. But Rabbi Nizal said that if not for this, I would have been able to remove it where there wouldn't have been any damage. Because of the side of it, there's going to have to be a slight damage.
But if one succeeds in overcoming these tests and he gets this type of pun,
100%.
This is what assists him.
100%. Okay, next. Torah Kuf Nun Dalet. Now note, we have to start becoming very familiar with certain terminology. There's a term that's used in Rabbi Nizal's forum in Sifrei Kabbalah, the term Avos Nefulos, and there's the term Yeros Nefulos. And what this refers to is the fact that at the time, I'm talking about an item that I'm not necessarily that familiar with or that acquainted with, or that none of us are necessarily that familiar with or not that acquainted with. But that doesn't mean that we don't talk about it at all. It's written in Rabbi Nizal's forum, and we were zeichet to hear these words from Rabbi Zal. So we quote them as we heard them, and we try to understand them the best we can. And whatever we don't understand, so we don't understand, period. It's our tiny little brains. We're not impressed with the fact that we don't have all the answers. The fact that when Hashem created the world originally, kaviyochel, there was a concept where Hashem tried to take His light and put it into certain kelim, which were set up supposedly to be able to contain this light, but the way it turned out, the kelim were not strong enough to hold a light into it in them, and there was a shviras kelim. The kelim burst, and this is the whole concept where klipos were generated through this. There was all kinds of problems that were generated through this concept of shviras kelim. Two of the terms that are applied to Shviras HaKelim, some of the knowledge that we're given is the fact that, number one, all the Olamos, all the heavenly worlds, suffered a Yerida because of this. In other words, what was originally Atzilus went down to the level of Bria. What was originally Bria went down to Yetzirah. What was originally Yetzirah went down. Each one of the Olamos went down a level in height, in what it was supposed to be originally. In other words, originally this world was supposed to be this height, now it's only this height. Everything went down a level, and the only time that the Olamos are restored to their original height is Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh, the Zohar Kodesh says that the Olamos are regened, the system is regened, kaviyochel, and everything is restored to its original height as much as possible. One of the terms that's brought in relation to this is that when there was this Shviras HaKelim, we're talking about Kelim being the Midas of Hashem, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes. When Chesed broke, it means what? It means there was originally a Chesed which was supposed to be total Kedusha. Chesed is Ahava, Gevura is Yira, Gevura is Begimatri Yira, Chesed is Enyan of Ahava. The whole concept of Ahava. Ahava is Begimatria Yud Gimel 13, which stands for the 13 Yud Gimel Midah Shel Chesed, Rachmin. So the Sifrei Kabbalah bring that it was because of this Shviras HaKelim. In other words, originally, this is the whole story of Ben Melech and Ben Shifcha Shenechlefu. Originally, when Adam HaRishon was created, when man was created, man was genned in such a way whereby he was supposed to love Torah and love mitzvahs and love serving Hashem and not love Boston cream pie and not love women whom he's not supposed to and all of these kinds of things. In other words, a person was supposed to have the avos of kedusha, not the wrong kind of avo. A person was supposed to have yira of kedusha, fear of Hashem, fear of tzaddikim and talmidei chachamim, not fear of animals or of any other nonsense. This is when the kelim were bishleimus, the kelim burst. So, Rachmona Litzlan, there came through this avos nefulos and yirois nefulos, whereby the avo fell into the wrong things. In other words, it fell, the oir splattered. It splattered into the wrong things. The avo is splattered into achila, into shena, into noshin, into all kinds of items which it really doesn't belong in. The real avo is the after seshem lekecha b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha. We're talking about 100%. Chol levavcha, chol nafshecha, chol miyadecha. Total dedication to Hashem, which means that if I love something else, in a sense, I'm subtracting from my avas Hashem, that kind of item. So too with yira, the original way that things were supposed to be was a person who was supposed to have fear of Hashem only. The yira fell into other items. It was nislabish in other items like animals. This is the terminology that's used. And now Rabbeinu Zal is going to discuss the concept of yirois nefulois and how to deal with it and what and when. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Da, you should know, ki yesh yirois nefulois. There does exist this item called yirois nefulois, fallen fears. That's the literal interpretation. It means a yira that's for the wrong thing, that kind of item. V'chol ha'yisurim v'hadinin sheyesh lo adam, any suffering or din that is upon a person." Kulam heime ha'yirois nefulois shenaflu l'teich zeh ha'davar shehu mispached v'yesh lo yisurim imenu. All of this suffering and fear, all of this suffering and din comes from yirois nefulois, which fell into that item that the person is afraid of or that he's suffering from. If a person is suffering from the government, let's say, from a goy, it's because yirois nefulois fell into that goy, went into that goy, and that's what's making you afraid of him. Otherwise, why should you be afraid of him? Why should you be suffering from him? The reason why you're suffering from him is because a midas hadin fell into him, and he's exercising it against you. A din nefula, a gevuras nefulois, a yira nefula was nislabesh in this goy, or in this animal, or in whatever it is that a person is receiving suffering from, and that's where he's receiving the Yisurim from. V'hu b'chinas, this is what the Gemara says in Shabbos, hey emois, that there exist five types of fears. And one of the fears that the Gemara lists is emas cholosh al gibor, the fear of a weak person for a strength, the fear that a weak person injects on a person stronger than him, which is a ridiculous item. Why would a strong person be afraid of a weak person? You have a case like when a person comes up behind you suddenly, that kind of item. You have a person who, although he's stronger, he'll get scared of the weaker one. How is it, Shaykh? The answer is, because this Yira Nefula was Nislavish in him, that's what allows for this kind of item, where logically sometimes it would seem that there shouldn't be any fear, and yet there is a fear. How could a human being be afraid of an animal if he's a higher level of creation? The answer is, because these Yiras Nefulas fell into this item, this is why the person finds himself afraid of this item, or suffering from this item. She'af shehu neged hateva shehagibor yifchad mehacholosh, although it's against logic, against nature, that a strong person should be afraid of a weaker person, ach shehu machmas hayiro ho'elyoino shenoflo v'nislabsho be'elu hadvorim, it's only because of this heavenly yira that fell and became cloaked in these items, that's what causes this to happen. Rabbeinu Zal says, V'alkein hein b'mispar hei, that's why the Gemara in Shabbos lists five types of fear, because these five types of fear are keneged hei gevurois. These five types of fear are keneged the chamisha gevurois, the five gevurois of Hashem kaviyachol, sheheim hei oisiyos menatzbach kfulin. This refers to the five letters mem, nun, tzadik, pechof, which are kful. They are double. There's mem and the mem, nun and the nun, tzadik and the tzadik. This is where the gevurois come from. This is where the yira comes from. V'tzorich lahalois hayirois hanafulois l'sherosham l'mekaimam. Now the question is, what do I do? Once I'm given this information, how do I work with it? The Yira was already in a slavish in this item. How do I correct it that I should no longer be afraid of this item? I should no longer be suffering from this item. How do I do it? Rabbi Nizal says the way to do it is by elevating the Yira Nafula to its place, to its sherish. Umokoim hayira he believe. And the place of fear, the proper place of fear is in the heart. Kemoi shepirish Rashi, dovor hamoser liliboy shelodom, nemar boy viyareisa. That whenever you find in the Torah that the Pasuk says viyareisa malikecha, that's talking about dvorim shebetzina, a mitzvah that a person does or doesn't do, which is not visible to people. So we figure the guy is going to say, people won't see what I'm doing, I'll do the opposite of what's right. Hashem warns, V'yareisa malekecha. By those items that relate to the heart, be afraid of Hashem, because Hashem knows what's in your heart. So we see that the shirish of Yira, the mokor of Yira, is the mokoim of Yira is in the heart. V'hayira tzricho lihiyos imdas. And fear in its proper state must have das attached to it. Kibaloi das nemar halo yiroscho ksilosecho. When a person is lacking in das and he has fear, then the Navi says about this person that your fear is your foolishness. So that's a stupid kind of fear. So fear in its proper state is when it's without foolishness, when the yira is with das. V'hadas tzorich liyos b'lev, and this das must be in the heart. Ki gam akum yesh lo das, because even the goyim avodas kechovim umazolos, they also have das achu b'lo lev, but their das is not hooked up in any way to the heart. Ach ikra hadas kishehu b'lev, the main das is when the das is in the heart. You will know today about Hashem, and you will return to Hashem with your heart. So we see, when is the das considered das? When it brings about a tshuva, a purity of the lave. Because where does the das come from? Chochma bina das. Das comes from the lave. Das comes from bina, which is the heart. Halev maven. When a person attaches the das of the heart with the yira, whose place is supposed to be in the heart, Azai Nemar, about this person is written the pasuk, Oz Tovin Yiras Hashem V'das Alikim Timtza. This is a person who combines Yiras Hashem V'das. He combines Yira and Das, and he has them in the right place. V'hine k'siv, Rabbi Nizal says, now the question is, how do I do this? How is a person zeicha to this? V'hine k'siv, there's a pasuk which says, Melech b'mishpot yamid eretz, that a king, through judgment, establishes his land. He creates a proper environment. Hainu al yidei mishpot, ma'amid u'male ha'yira, she'i b'chinas eretz. Through Mishpat, a person has the power to establish and to elevate the Yira, which is called Eretz. Eretz refers to Yira. K'moi shekosav, as the Pasuk says, Eretz Yireya. So we see that Eretz is Yira. Melech b'mishpat yamid Eretz. Through Mishpat, a person is ma'amid the Yira. U'mishpat huma sheha'odam sheifet v'don atzmoy al kol dover v'dover sheise. Mishpat is where a person judges himself for every single item that he does. Terem sheyodinu oisei lamala, before Hashem gets a chance to judge him. The person judges himself every day. He speaks to Hashem and he apologizes to Hashem for anything that he did wrong that day. And he enumerates, he confesses his sins in detail. He says, Hashem, I realize that I did this and this stupid item today that was against your will. I'm very sorry and I hope I'll never do it again. A person makes a cheshbon hanefesh verbally. That's mishpat. That's judging yourself. Through this mishpat, through his spiritus, this concept of mishpat, judging yourself, that's how a person is ma'amid the eretz. He's ma'amid the yira. He perfects the yira, where there's no more yirois nefulois, where he's no longer afraid of any item. Note, that specifically by this item, by his spiritus, Rabbeinu Zal said he, if he had a small child, he would be willing to let his small child go in anywhere. He wouldn't be afraid. He would not be afraid to let his child go even into a forest or whatever, even if he knew there were wild animals there, because his spiritus is the opposite of Yirois Nefulois. His spiritus is this concept of Mishpot, which is Ma'amidere. It's a person who is zeichet to have his spiritus Bigdusha, who's zeichet to have this Mishpot Bigdusha. That person has nothing to fear from animals or from any kind of animals, period. And through the fact that a person judges himself by himself, and that's how a person can save himself from going through any heavenly judgment. Because the Gemara says, that when there's a judgment on earth, there's no judgment in heaven. When heaven sees that a person judges himself and reprimands himself, then heaven doesn't feel that they have to punish him, that they have to reprimand him. Note, let's go back to what Rabbeinu Zal said in the beginning. Why is there a year and a fool in this item? Because the heavenly din has fallen and become the slavish nesaida, meaning a person commits a sin, Hashem gets angry, there's gevura. The gevura spirals down and is nislabesh in a snake, in an ox, in a nigger, in whatever it is, with our lahavdil to the snakes, with our apologies to the snakes. It's nislabesh in this item to judge the one whom Hashem wants to get, chas v'shalom. If this person has a spiritus every single day and he judges himself, then besides the fact that the Pasuk says, Melech b'mishpot ya'amid eretz, through that he's mala his own yira, he himself will not be afraid. Number one, he'll remove the possibility of having something to be afraid of. Because he judges himself, there's no din out to get him. The din won't be nislabish in any animal or anything else to harm him in any way. Ve'ein tzorech liro mishum dovor. Then this person will not have to be afraid of any item whatsoever. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ve'ein lo rak yiro ha'elyona, yiro sarayimus." And this person will be zeichet to have only the heavenly yiro, which is fear of the greatness of Hashem. He won't be afraid of an einish. Why not yiro einish? Because there is no einish. He's careful to judge himself on a constant basis. He removes the possibility of einish, so yiro einish he doesn't have to have. Through his spiritus, he can elevate himself to the Madreka, where he goes above Yiras Einish, to get to the level where only Yiras Haremimus would apply to him. Ayin kol zel el b'hatera misha reitza litaim tam oir hagonos b'simin tezvav mevura kol zel barichus. If you look in Torah Tezvav and Gutaman, it discusses this same topic in much more detail, much more at length, proving it much more from Psukim, from Sifrei Kabbalah, this whole concept. But what Rabbeinu Zal was stressing here applies to each one of us, b'chol yom v'yom. As far as going into a mokum sakana, I was zeichet to hear from Rav Michal Shlita, when he was here in America at the time. I mentioned to him about going out to the boardwalk at night, this and that. And I mentioned him in a way, there are things to be scared of, because there are muggers, in other words, there are all kinds of lunatics and everything out. This place is definitely a makom sheshchicha zeka. But on the other hand, didn't Rabbeinu Zal say that he'd be willing to let a small child go into the forest? And Rav Michal made a comment at the time that a forest is less, in other words, a jungle is less dangerous than a city like New York at night. Why? Because the Torah says, the Gemara says, a person should be less afraid of an animal than of a human being who's out to harm him, because a human being has more of a koyach of bechira, in a sense, to do damage to the person, in a sense, with more of a free choice than an animal has. An animal is more restricted in going exactly by what Hashem tells it to do, that kind of item, whereas a human is more free, in a sense, more dangerous. So he seemed to be saying that if it could be avoided, it should be avoided. But it's understood that a person should use seichel for this period. You don't go looking for trouble, you don't go looking for a makom sheshchicha zeka, and if it's possible, to avoid it, it's very, very good. If it's not possible, a person should go with tmimus and pshitus, and a person should make sure to ask Hashem to protect him before he goes outside, to ask Hashem to protect him and his wife and his children from any harm, bechlal, because this city and this country and this world now, nobody would deny, you look into a newspaper, there's no question at all that this whole world now is classified as a mokim sheshchicha hezeka, begashmias, and certainly Baruch Nias. Rabban Zal says in Gudei Halachos, there's no question about it, that you have a mugger, you have a 24-hour-a-day mugger chasing you, trying to rob you of anything he can, any mitzvah, any good, any tov that a person possibly has. This malach, this satan, is chasing after him with a knife, trying to mug him on a daily basis, 24 hours a day. So a person has to ask Hashem to protect him, Baruch Nias, and to protect him, Begashmias. A person goes for a split of this at night in the street. Hashem, protect me. I shouldn't be harmed by any four-legged animals or any two-legged animals. I should be zeichet to speak to you and not be interrupted, chas v'shalom, by any of the damaging items. And it's understood that if a person is zeichet to do this bikdusha with tmimus, without any gaif or anything, Rabbeinu Zal says that this concept of his split of this mishpat, judging yourself on a constant basis, asking Hashem to make you better, that's also judging it. You're, by asking Hashem, bring me close to you, you're admitting that you're not close to Hashem. You're confessing that you realize that you're not close. That whole concept of hispaitedness is what helps a person be zecha to overcome all the yiras nefulois, and to be zecha to avoid being harmed by any animals or any other items.
Like what you bring us two things. One thing is that the item won't exist anymore. That could,
exactly.
Besides that, you'll have more das that to be able to.
Exactly. In other words, number one, the din won't be any need for the din to come down, and number two, whatever din is available bechlal, you won't have any fear. You won't be afraid because mishpat yamid eretz. The mishpat is misaking the yira within you. That any fear that's within you should only be fear of kedusha, fear of Hashem, yira serenimus, not any other kind of fear.
But you go from the whole thing about das and you're talking about mishpat. Don't you connect it?
Because Rabbeinu Zal said that yira is only when there's das. Period. And he proved it. Halo yirascha psila secha. We see that yira is affiliated with stupidity, or the opposite of that, smartness. So we see there is a concept of yira with das. You have to have secha. You have to have sech. Period. Show that. Then Rabbeinu Zal says, Rabbeinu Zal said that das is the mocker of yira, the sherish. In other words, that's the wording that he used. Just a second. The tzorech lahalos hayiras nafulos lesharoshem lemekaimam. Okay, yira belave. Place of yira is belave. V'hayira tzricha liyos im das. The yira has to be with das. And the Ikar Das is belave, so fix up the heart completely. And then Oz Tov Niras Hashem Daskun Timsa. Period. Period. Then Rabbeinu Zal says, now, by the way, how do you do all of this fixing of Yira? To see to it that Yira should be with Das and the heart should be good. The Yira and Das, which are in the heart, everything should be good. There's a pasuk which says, Melech Bamishpat Yamdaretz, that Mishpat is what corrects the Yira. That everything affiliated with Yira should be okay, that the Yira should be with Das, and the heart should be okay, all of these things should be okay. That's the connection.
Yira with Das means just have Yira of Hashem and not the other type of Yira.
Exactly. Rabbeinu Zal in that Teret Hezbol talks about it more in detail, what we mean by Yira with Das. Just a second. Shosh Yira with Das, Shemanatz Bachu Bedas de Zeranpin, right? Vikra Das Hu Belay, blah, 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 Period. No, Rabbeinu Zal himself doesn't seem to go into that in more detail, but he mentions that there is an affiliation between Das and Yira. Oz Tov and Yira Hashem, the Das Alikim Timsa. When do you know that your Yira is Yira of Hashem? When you have Das, when Vidas Alikim Timsa. That's the proof, the barometer of how good your Yira is the Das.
So in other words, if a person has this his bitterness constantly, this mishpah constantly, it's possible for him to totally knock out punishment for himself.
Definitely.
In this world.
What's the shaila? Because the wording of the Gemara is kishyesh din lamata ain din lamala. It's, in other words, this is Gemara. We're not talking about chassidish isparim. What do the misnagdim say about this? What does it mean? What does it mean kishyesh din lamala? You sit. In other words, we challenge. Show me people who sit and actually spend an hour of time thinking about it. That's number one, his bainanus, bechlal. And the fact remains that Rabbeinu Zal brings enough proofs that this must be bepeh, this must be with the mouth. A person must speak to Hashem verbally to bring out his viduyin bepeh. There's no question about it. Just like when you say Hashamnu bagatnu, why don't we do it mentally? Because it must be said verbally. Here also, his spiritus must be with the mouth. The ikar koyach of a person, the esav is yadayim yaday esav, and by Yaakov Avinu, the main koyach is bepeh. The Gemara says that the goyim knew that the koyach of the Jews is bepeh, so they sent Bilam, whose koyach was bepeh. Even the goyim know that the whole koyach of a Jew is in his mouth, speaking to Hashem, speaking words of Torah, speaking words of tefillah.
What is the word for Arif on
the hidden light. That is brought where? It's brought, Rabbi Nezal says, referring to the Torah, where it says, Misha Otsot from Tamar Agonis. Referring to the light of the Tzadikim, or the light of the light of Hashem, the light which Hashem hid in the beginning of my separations.
Is this Mishpat synonymous with tshuva? Is that considered?
It's a form of tshuva. It's something that goes together with tshuva. In other words, judging yourself, it's understood. I realize that I did this thing wrong, and I won't do it again. That's tshuva. Kchu imochem dvorim v'shuvu al Hashem. What's tshuva? Tshuva is kchu imochem dvorim, confession before Hashem. Mishpat,
this is, I don't
remember
the details, but you gave a shiur, not the latest sickness, I think it was Shabbos, in which you said that a person might have Moira, or he doesn't have confidence when he leaves home, like his village or town. You said, Rebenza had a terror, and I don't remember exactly what it was. It had something to do with fear. That the minute you leave home, it's your surroundings, you're not as confident that you should have your cable with you, your weapon with you, to fight the sun. You know how it ties into this?
I don't remember what we were talking about at the time. But the fact is, could be we were talking about the house versus outside the house.
Yeah.
The fact that in Sifrei Kabbalah it's brought that the house is a mokam of Kiddusha, the shuk is called a mokam of Klipos. Outside is called a place of Klipos. And a person must take protection with him. And we mentioned that protection when a person goes out of the house is the mezuzah. The act of kissing the mezuzah, that's what serves as a protection to protect the person. And we mentioned that how does this reflect with the sukkah? And we proved how the sukkah was the singing of a mezuzah. That was what we showed. We mentioned that the four times daifen, what was the gematria that we mentioned at the time? That four times daifen plus schach was big gematria. Just a second. Daifen is 10, 80 and 50 is 140. Four times 140 is 560 plus 100 is 660. Tafresh is Seser. Yeshev b'seser el yoin, b'tzeil shaka yislain, and shaka is the mezuzah. Yeah. We showed how sukkah was this concept of a big mezuzah. It's called tzila de mehemenusa. In other words, the trustworthy place where Hashem protected the Jews. The sukkah was where Hashem protected the Jews, either from the sun in the desert or from the goyim. That was the protection. That's this concept of yeshev b'seser el yoin, b'tzeil shaka yislain. Yeah, sirah rabbeinu zivul. That's what it was. This is,
Not
you off. No fooling around.
This was a late one, but there's not one, and that one took me a look.
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. In the beginning of creation, when Hashem first created the world, exactly at which point and what, I hope someday to find out.
Why was this such a thing?
Huh? Also, things we don't understand
at all.
Exactly. But let's try it again. The concept of change cannot exist by Hashem. The concept of what do you mean miscalculation? I'm saying these items are not possible. So obviously, us little kids don't understand this. We'll learn more. No, it's part of this is explained in Sifrei Kabbalah. They make it more clear. But the Untish, the Shur, whatever you think is baloney, you must have emunah. You must have emunah in the words that it's like, if the Arizal says they were Shira Sakevim, then that's it. Why and what? I'm not interested why what. I accept it the way it's taught, period.
Hashem wanted to get the Torah into the Jews to the world after 1,000 generations, but then he saw that.
Right. What's Tai Chi wanted, but then he saw. He created with Din first, he saw they could. what's Taish? The answer is obviously this thing is we don't understand. The word Shinui Rotzlein by Hashem Chas V'Shalom is Kfira. To say that there is a concept of changing by Hashem, that's Kfira. Hashem is Echod, Hashem is constant. There's no change by Hashem.
Also, you know, Kalim broke.
Definitely, it's Torah Samach Dalet. Rabbeinu Zalman has a spectacular Torah where he talks about the whole concept of Chol HaOnei, that that's what left the room for all of these questions, the two different types of questions, the questions that you're allowed to ask and the ones that you're not allowed to ask. Baruch Hashem.
Now, two items. Number one, where was the center for Mishpat? Those who are learning Sanhedrin. Where was the center for Mishpat? In Yerushalayim. The Lishkas HaGoz is number one, which was the highest court of the world, is in Yerushalayim. Besides the fact that the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Yerushalayim was the only city that was unique, that besides Lishkas HaGoz, it had two bezins of 23. We had it in Saita. Do you recall we mentioned it like 3-4 weeks ago? In fact, the Gemara mentioned that in Yerushalayim there were two bezins of 23. Every other city in Eretz Yisrael had one bezin. Yerushalayim was unique in Mishpat. Note also that the Pasuk says, Ki Yipolim Chodovar Ben Dom Ladom Ben Din Ladin Ben Negel Anegel Adivar Yerushalayim Spesharechot. If there will be any kind of machlegis in Kol Yisrael, the Kamp of Yalisa Lamokam Hashem Hashem, go to Yerushalayim. That's the place for Mishpat. That's why it's Yerushalayim. There's no how this ties together, all of this fits together with the Mishpat. We should be Zeche to get to become Toshua Yerushalayim, to be Michlal, and that Mishpat of Kedusha, and the Tzadikim, and the Tiyam, or Zeche, the Lukum. Right. Right.
Is there any other Mishpat besides spiders?
Are you going anywhere closer to me than
him? Mishpat, me and Josh,
are you going anywhere closer to me than him?
Stop saying if he's doing the right thing or not.
What?
This example, the first time
I've done
this between Tony and him, the presenter to the rebels.
Like he did run for Tzadik.
So if you had a dispute with someone, you would bring it up to a Tzadik. This would help you as far as the fact that you bring up, as far as helping your year.
Right. That's Mishpat. That's Mishpat that Peter showed you. He was the first.
Is there any difference between how a person should feel or what the private conscience is quoted as the private conscience from Israel?
Not that I know. Not that I know. Just the understanding that it's easier in a sense to do it in a split of this because the fact that you're forced to make up your own words, usually it makes it more difficult not to have kavanah.